I would invite you to turn with me to Psalm 119 as we read verses 89 through 96 in the Pew Bible. It's located on page 534. Psalm 119, 89 through 96, Pew Bible, page 534. The Lord lives forever. Your word is firmly fixed in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand today, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my misery. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your decrees. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Perhaps you have seen the movie. I watched it again the other night. I recommended it to someone this morning who had never seen it, and I said, oh, it's funny. But it's also got a very good point to it. But the two main characters are played by Bill Murray and Andy McDowell. Bill Murray is an arrogant and rather unhappy weatherman. His life is pretty much incomplete. And his search for something that will make a difference in his life isn't going great guns. He's having a real hard time. He tries all kinds of different things, and he thinks more highly of himself than anyone else around him. And now, as this weatherman, he has been sent to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, to cover the winter prediction of Punxsutawney Phil. The movie is Groundhog Day. And here we are on Groundhog Day. But he has been sent to cover the predictions of Punxsutawney Phil, the prognosticating groundhog, along with the cameraman and the director, played by Andy McDowell. Murray covers the event, though if you've ever seen the movie, he is pretty sarcastic about it. And then things get worse. As they're trying to exit from Punxsutawney, the snow starts falling. And the cameraman who's driving the van says, you know, we might have to turn around. It looks like that blizzard has set in. And he says, there's not a blizzard. I told you there's not a blizzard. It's going to push off to the east. And then he gets out when they get stuck, and he walks up to a state trooper and he says, we need to get this cleared up so we can get by. He said, you can't. You're going to have to turn around because the blizzard is setting in. And he says, there is no blizzard coming. I'm the weatherman. I make the weather. There's a low pressure system here that's going to ride up, but a high pressure system is going to push it to the east. There is no blizzard. Well, he says, you can either go back to Punxsutawney or you can go ahead and die in the blizzard. And so they go back to Punxsutawney. And then the next morning he awakens. The beep and to the song by Sonny and Cher. So put your little hand in mine. There ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb, babe. And he thinks, wait a minute. That was the song the day before on Groundhog Day. And if you've ever seen the movie, you already know. And if you don't, I'll tell you, he gets stuck in a perpetual Groundhog Day. Every day, no matter what he does, when he awakens the next morning, he awakens to that song. And it's Groundhog Day again. You know, if you've ever seen the movie, he does some pretty crazy things in this movie. Some of them rather hilarious, and some of them you want to have a disclaimer that says, don't try this at home. But he is stuck in Groundhog Day, and we don't know how long, but long enough to learn to play the piano and to learn things about just about everybody in Punxsutawney. Of course, the thing that folks don't often realize is if he's stuck in Groundhog Day, so is his cameraman and so is Andy McDowell. But then again, that's part of the whole premise in the movie. He is looking for meaning in life. He is so sarcastic about everything that Andy McDowell just kind of thinks he is, somebody needs to kind of get him out of his misery. But he eventually starts helping other people and begins changing. But he's still stuck in Groundhog Day until what happens? He finally finds love. And his life is completed when she loves him back. And Andy McDowell and Bill Murray escape their predicament when love wins out. He thought he was in a permanent Groundhog Day. But when love wins out and his life is completed, then he can move on with confidence. And so here we are on Groundhog Day, and I promise that we will not be stuck in here permanently. Just for a little while. But I do want us to think for a few minutes about perpetuality, about permanence. Today, and once again, thankfully, we are not stuck in permanent winter temperatures either. Now, many people look for guarantees, right? Many folks today want guarantees. We want some promise of permanence, that the things we buy are not going to break the next day. They're going to break the day after the warranty runs out. Some seek that permanence in money. Some seek it in things. Others seek it in substances. Some seek it in people, or in particular jobs or situations. But you know, the world of the psalmist was not all that unlike our own, in a way. People were still unsure in his day about much of life and what to expect. They too wanted to know what was coming, and they too wanted some sense of permanence. The world around them kept changing, and not necessarily in better ways. You never knew who would be the next leader that would march through with his armies and take you over. You never knew what the job situation was going to be like. You never knew whether the crops were going to produce or not. They didn't even have the Farmer's Almanac. Now, I know some of y'all read that rather regularly. I used to buy it some. I'll go through early in the season when it comes out, pull it off the stand, look at December, January, and February, and then put it back on the stand. Got to find out if it's going to snow or not, right? And some of you swear by, I know folks that will not plant their garden on any other day, and if they have to take a jackhammer to break up the ground, they'll do so to plant it on Good Friday. Right? But we like to think that we can find out. And so they did in the psalmist's day as well, when life wasn't necessarily always good. Questions of why and how long were nearly constant for them, even within the mind of this writer. He longed for something on which to count for long-lasting meaning. For example, if we look before this passage, verse 84, how long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? That question occurs over and over and over again. But suddenly, in the middle of his worried and hurried and harried life, the psalmist remembers that God provides permanence. He remembers the permanence of God's sovereignty and God's unchanging word. While there is a limit and an end to everything which people make or think to be perfect, the divine law of God has no limitations. He says, "Your word, O Lord." For him, that word is that by which God created. God spoke things and created. It's that by which God maintains and sustains and governs all things. By word, he also includes the law and the commandments. And he states that that word of God we can count on as being eternal. Not just everlasting. Everlasting has a beginning and no end. Eternal has no beginning and no end. And when he speaks of it, he says, "Your word stands firm in the heavens," which indicates that the very order of the heavens and the earth, the very order of the universe, shows forth the truth that God's word, by which he upholds and governs all things, is eternal and is trustworthy. Additionally, God is faithful and has proven that faithfulness throughout all the generations, the psalmist says, which adds to his confidence of trustworthiness in God's revelation of himself in all areas of life. There is a permanence there. A permanence which is missing from so much of the ways that people look at the world and their lives, even today. As the earth endures because of God's plans and oversight, so the writer believes that God's laws, God's teachings, that they endure regardless of what people might think, regardless of whether we agree to follow them or not. God's laws, God's teachings, and God's governing of the universe doesn't cease. And we can count on that. In his statement that all things serve you, the psalmist speaks of the universal scope of God's authority. Whether or not we recognize it, all things, the sun, the moon, the stars, the law of gravity. Yeah. What's going to happen if I jump up? I'm not going to fly off. I'm going to come back down. All of those things and all persons stand daily before God and are under God's watch care. In fact, for the psalmist, he reiterates that God is the source for life. And without him, true life perishes. By the way, in Hebrew, to perish literally means to become nothing. To become nothing. In fact, verse 92 shares the understanding of the psalmist that he himself would perish if he didn't delight or spend time on God's instructions, not just physically, but he would not be able to learn the way of true life emotionally and spiritually if he didn't concentrate, if he did not seek after God's precepts. But simply learning about the precepts of God without appropriate application is not enough. Now, granted, I personally don't believe that we can ever learn enough. I know that surprises you. But I personally don't believe that we can ever learn enough. But without applying that knowledge to our approach to living, we will not be what God intends and what God wishes for us to be. And if we do not pursue that, then we will not have the permanence which God offers us even beyond this life. But how many times do we forget the command to study to show yourself approved? Or that command from Deuteronomy about the laws and the teachings, quote, to commit them to memory and teach them to your children, and to discuss them when you are at home and when you are away. Unfortunately, many people in our world, many people who are in churches, don't really like to work that hard at understanding the Bible or the teachings of God. And I don't like to work that hard at dealing with the questions. It's too much work. And besides, what if I find something I really don't agree with? But the psalmist recognized that the only real way to be preserved, especially in the face of all the transient things, was to seek out God's precepts, to seek out God's laws, to seek out God's revelation. Save me, he says, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. In other words, he says, I have intentionally searched for them. Why? For I am yours. I've given myself to you, God. Oh, but you might say, well, you know, I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 8 or 17 or 45. Isn't that enough? The psalmist says no. Of course, he didn't know about Jesus, but the psalmist says no. The psalmist states that we are to do more than just stroll down the aisle once upon a time. He believes and teaches us that we are not only to seek out God and accept His grace, but we are to ponder God's statutes, to think upon them seriously, to dig around in them, to even ruminate on what we discover. I would submit to you in another way that we are to be archaeologists with the biblical text. We're to be Indiana Joneses of a sort. Only taking the biblical text and the other things that we have available to help us and sift carefully through layer after layer in search of the valuable treasures of knowledge, wisdom, and insight. Yes, sometimes we might get our hands a little dirty, or we might get roughed up on occasion because something hits us and we gain an understanding. We gain an understanding which we weren't expecting, and which might challenge us. But what is that compared with the storehouse of treasures and the satisfaction of the hard work which hones and prepares us to truly live? This helps us not be overcome by the difficult circumstances, though, or by the wicked. When he uses wicked here, we often talk about those who miss the mark, but it also means those who, in their own way, are the arrogant. Sometimes even well-meaning believers who tell us, oh, all it's about is getting them down the aisle and reporting the numbers. You don't need to really work at it. Just let the love flow. Kumbaya, my Lord. Unfortunately, such an attitude toward religious faith can destroy us just as certainly as those who openly oppose religious faith. Seeking and pondering the depths of God and our beliefs will help us to find more permanence of faith in the good, the bad, and the mundane times. The writer ends this section of the psalm with the observation with which he began. Nothing is permanent except God and His commandments and instructions. By the way, in addition to certain branches of Christianity, in addition to the growing number of Muslims in the world, in this country, another fast-growing religion is, world religion, is Buddhism. And as he died, and much of the teachings that the Buddha gave, as he died, he said, impermanent are all things. Strive on with awareness. For him, there was nothing that was permanent, whether on earth or in the heavens. I think he missed the mark greatly. Because we find here, and we find in life, that the one permanent thing on which we can count is God. And the psalmist here has looked all around at everything that people have made, everything people have attempted to do, and he comes to the conclusion that they are all limited in scope and reach. And we too can look around our 21st century world. We've made great advancements in all kinds of areas, in technology and other things. But if we are completely honest, we will also find that there is a limit to all that we can do, no matter how great our advances might currently be. The English minister W.E. Orchard delivered a sermon in which he addressed these verses. When he got to verse 96, he stated, and I quote, "I think it means that though we see an end of all perfection in human affairs, God's law is limitless in its reach, able to cover all the varied applications to human need. And he has the leisure of eternity to secure its perfect fulfillment. It is not a lowering of God's purposes, but an extension of his outlook beyond the narrow confines of human existence. This makes it a much safer refuge from disillusionment than the interpretation which seems to lie upon the surface, namely, that God does not really require of us so much as we have foolishly imagined. He requires not less, but more, only on a grander scale, and plans it along more generous lines." End of quote. All of our perfection will eventually fade. But God and God's purposes for the world are boundless. God's commandments by which the universe is governed are unlimited. They are permanent. They provide us an inexhaustible source of wisdom, but also an inexhaustible source of counsel for the way to live life fully. And not just somewhere out there, but beginning here, in the now, and continuing forevermore. Beyond what the psalmist can say. Beyond what the Buddha could say, or Confucius could say, or anyone else. This eternal Word of God we find most meaningfully shown in the life of Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Word of life. As the eternal Word of life, He was in the beginning. He is even today, and always will be. So, the next time you feel like you're stuck in a perpetual Groundhog Day of sorts, remember the permanence of God which outlasts and which overcomes the mundane, and which gives us the assurance of God's loving grace and our completion through Jesus, our Christ and our Lord. May we pray. Our gracious God, we do thank you that out of all the other things in the world, you are the one permanent, the one on which we can count, and in whom we find full meaning in life. Help us to be more committed to seeking your permanence, to seeking out your precepts, to studying and to learning, and then to applying that which we learn from you, not just for our own lives, but so that the lives of others around us might be enriched because of you. We ask for the assurance of that permanence to continue, that we too might be more permanently yours. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of dedication, is number 668, "I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go." As we stand and as we sing, our altar is open. Number 668, "I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go."